Thank you, Ben. Well, good morning, King's Church. How are you? All right, you may take a seat, as you're already doing, I see. Anyway, wow, it's great. How wonderful to be here. I have just loved the worship at King's over the last two weekends. And so would you thank our band here? You are blessed. You are blessed. Chris there on the keyboard. He was playing guitar last Sunday night at Logan, and he's got more chords than I've had hot breakfast. He is amazing, and you are blessed people, aren't you? So good. So good. I want to honor Ben and Trish. Just the incredible work they've done leading this church. And just over 2 years ago, we sat in that second row there on your first Sunday. And just to see what has happened over this time is, you know, these sorts of things don't happen without leadership. And you've done a magnificent job. You may wonder, how come if he's the chair of the church board, we never see him at church? Did anybody wonder that? Did anybody wonder? What the heck? Well, your constitution actually allows for, or not allows, insists on an independent director who brings an outside perspective to the church and to the church board, and that's the role I play. Also want to honor Reese and Karen and the incredible work and their team that you've done in, hey, you know, the largest Christian school in Australia, the largest independent school in Queensland. Again, that doesn't happen without great leadership, and you've done a magnificent job, as has your team and the chairman of your board, Brendan, and you are blessed people. And that item and those children, that was fantastic, Peter. And your team, you know, running items like that, it's like coaching rugby. Your success depends on who you put in the front row. Yep. I'm just glad I'm not preaching while the lad in the red is on stage, because nobody's going to listen to me. Nobody's going to look at me. It's all about him. Am I right? Yeah. And the beautiful little girl here in the yellow. And it's awesome. It's fantastic. So, beginning of the year, 1st of January, my wife and I, we went to a coffee shop just to sort of position ourselves for 2020. We've given up having those New Year resolutions because they don't seem to work. But we decided we'd ask God for a theme, because themes can endure, whereas New Year's resolutions don't usually last much beyond the first week. In fact, I later that day, I went and had a look. I looked up online some people's first year New Year resolutions. I found this one: to lose just enough weight so my gut doesn't jiggle when I brush my teeth. I thought that's really clever, because they're just bringing the bar down so low, you know? Like, that's a smart New Year's resolution. Or this one: to exercise every day, or at least briefly consider it. How many people think, yeah, I could have that one? Or I thought this was clever. It was going to be to quit all my bad habits, but then I remembered, no one likes a quitter. There's a good out. But as we sat there and said, Lord, what's the theme for our life? And I felt I had a theme and I had a scripture. And here's the scripture. It's become my key scripture for 2020. But look, I'm not precious. I'm willing to share it with you. Isn't that great? Hey, aren't you blessed? So it's Psalm 139, verse 5. In more classic translations, it talks about how God hems us in before and behind, and his hand is on us. But out of the Passion Translation, it was that particularly spoke to me, and it says this: Lord, you've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you've followed behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. You've gone into my future. God is outside of time. He can go into your future. And here's the picture. Just imagine tomorrow that God's already there. some of you here, and we're going to pray for teachers and people in schools later on. You're a teacher. Imagine God's already in your classroom. He knows what's going to happen. He knows who's in there. He knows the challenges. And he's preparing your heart. He's preparing the situation. He's setting up divine appointments. If you're an administrator, he knows the challenges you're going to face, because you face challenges every day. You know that that's part of the job. For the rest of you, whatever you're doing, in your home, in your workplace, whatever it is, imagine God is already there in tomorrow, well, in this afternoon, in tomorrow, in next week, in next month, even in next year, and he's been setting you up for the future that he intends for your life. Isn't that a good thing to know, that a good God is preparing the way ahead of time? Well, hey, how about we get that in our spirits this morning, that he's there so that you just are the right person in the right place at the right time. Just as we were gathered before this meeting, Pastor Ben said to me, you know, the Reedy Creek crowd, they love the deep teachings of God. And he was serious. And as I'm looking across this crowd, and I know some of you quite well, and I get it. You know, there's Rob Fuller. He's been a Christian for 97 years. And so I'm just going to change, as I just thought just a moment or two before the meeting, I'm just going to add something in here. So it's not going to be on the screen. I'm going to take you to Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, because what I've been teaching the last weekend in the two locations, there's actually a word study behind it that I haven't yet shared. And so we're going to see that in Ecclesiastes 9, 11. This verse is perhaps, if you're a leadership expert or love leadership, this is perhaps the most discouraging verse in the Bible. Okay, you want to hear this? Maybe not, but we're going to hear it. Here we go. We're coming to Ecclesiastes 9:11, and it says, "The race is not to the swift." And remember, this is meant to be written by the wisest man of all time, you know, Solomon. "The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all." It seems to be saying it really doesn't matter getting wise, and it really doesn't matter, you know, doing your best, because actually at the end of the day, it's a bit of luck how it all turns out. That's what it seems to be saying on the surface, until we study it a little bit deeper and do realize that there's a Hebrew word that's been translated time and chance. And the Hebrew word is chara. And on the surface, it's saying this, that it would seem often in life that things have just so happened. Well, that was just a lucky coincidence. Well, that I ran into that person at that time, that thing seemed to be the case. It was just, wow. But actually, when we understand more fully the plan and purpose of God, and when we are committed to him, we see that there's a God who's been going ahead of us into our future to prepare a way. It doesn't mean that everything is perfect in life. It doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. And yet there is still a God who loves us and is working on our behalf going into our future. And so if we take this word, chara, and we go back to Genesis, and Genesis chapter 24 and verse 12, and here we'll see the use of this word in a passage. And this is what it says. So the story here is about Abraham, and his time has come for his son Isaac to get married, to find a wife. He wants a wife for his wife, for his son Isaac. He doesn't want a wife from the area in which they're now living. He wants it from where they came from. So he says to his chief servant, "I want you to go back to that area and find a wife for Isaac." So he gives them a whole lot of camels and a whole lot of gifts and sends them off. Now, just to put yourself in the shoes of this servant, he's got to head back to a place he hasn't been before. You know, this is all strange. And somehow, he's got to find the wife that Isaac is going to love, that's going to be just the right woman. And Abraham will think you've done a good job. I mean, that's surely that's a real classic needle in a haystack situation, isn't it? Unless there's a God who's gone into his future. It would seem incredible that he could find this woman. But this is what happens. He turns up at this place where Abraham came from, and he prays a brilliant prayer. And this is the prayer. Lord God of my master Abraham, this is Genesis 24:12. Make me successful today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, and he goes on to say, see, I'm standing beside the spring and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, please let down your jar that I may have a drink, and she says, drink and I'll water your camels too, let her be the one you've chosen for your servant Isaac. And this is how it happens. Just like that. This girl comes out. He says, would you give me a drink? She says, I'll not only give you a drink, I'll water your camels too, which is pretty incredible when you think about the water that a bunch of camels would want to drink. Wow. And so he says, would you come back and marry the son of my master? And she says, yes. And if you read the story further, when she rocks up and Isaac sees her, they fall in love and it's awesome. And she becomes a significant part of God's redemptive plan for humanity. Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today. The Hebrew is chara. This is the same word. It's not an accident when we are the people of God. We're not just living in this planet somehow doing our thing and boy, whatever happens, happens and who knows what that is. But no, as the people of God, as we live in that way of acknowledging the Lord, as it says in Proverbs 3:6, in all our ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Wow. God is in your future, preparing a way for you. Isn't that good news? Anyone excited about that? Another, this is the third time I've brought this message, Pimpamar, Logan are now here, and some of the lucky people here have heard it are hearing it for the third time. So good. Mainly people who need to hear messages three times for it to sink in, is my opinion. But I've tried to just change up the scripture each time, partly because the scripture is full of this principle. So there's no shortage of material. So here we go this morning. I'm going to 2 Kings. And here we have a story about a woman, and she is known as the Shunammite woman because she comes from the village town of Shunem. And this is in the days of the prophet Elisha. And Elisha would travel around the area. And so she said to her husband, when the prophet comes to stay in our town, let's make a special room for him. And so that you can always come and stay there. And so that's what happens. And so Elisha comes along, and this is recorded in 2 Kings chapter 4. And then one day, after doing this for some time, Elisha says to his servant Gehazi, oh, look, this woman's been so good to us. Is there something we could do for her? Well, Gehazi knows that she's not able to have children and she would love to have a child. And so he tells Elisha, so Elisha prays and she gives birth to a son. Then the son grows up and one day the son's out with his dad and in the fields and something's wrong and he falls over and he dies. We would say these days some brain aneurysm or something like that, and the woman races off to the prophet and says, hey, this is what's happened, and she's in grief, but she knows where to go because she knows the answer is to those things that only can be found in God. And so the prophet prays and the son comes back to life. And it's a wonderful, wonderful story. But the prophet says to her, there's a famine coming in the land. Take your family and leave for 7 years. And she does. They say, leave that area of Israel. After 7 years, she comes back. Over those 7 years, a period of time, somebody's taken over their property. And now she's come back, and this is a problem. So she wants to go to the king, who was the person you go to in those days for justice, and say, hey, this is what's happened. This isn't right. So she turns up at the king's palace to tell him. And This is what is recorded in 2 Kings, chapter 8 and verse 5. Just as, Gehazi, the servant, has turned up at the king's palace to tell him just what a bit of an update on what's going on in the life of the prophet Elisha, and this is what it says: just as Gehazi was telling the king how Elisha had restored the dead to life, the woman whose son Elisha had brought back to life came to appeal to the king for her house and land. Well, that's a coincidence, isn't it? 7 years later, she walks in, not just at any time, but at the time when the servant is telling the king about her and about what God had done in her life. Coincidence? Or had God gone into her future and made the way? I believe as the people of God, we should live with a great expectation that the Lord knows what's coming up and we don't, and he goes into our future. You know, God can even make delays work for us. Sometimes, have you ever been delayed and it's frustrating? What? That traffic has delayed me. I can see people actually nudging people next to them right now. I think we all had this experience, don't we? Frustrated. I had a frustration as I was preparing this message because early in the morning I saw my computer said that it needed an update and it would take 13 minutes to download, and I was stupid enough to believe it. So I pressed the button to download. I went off, had a shower, had breakfast. I come back and it now says 10 minutes to download. Oh, no, and I can't leave because I need to take the laptop with me. So I just sat in the chair. It just so happened the chair was next to my bookcase. It just so happened I looked over my books. It just so happened I saw a book I hadn't actually yet read. It just so happened I pulled it off the shelves. It just so happened I start to read it, and it just so happens that it is significantly about the things that I'm sharing about today. I'd already written my sermon. I already knew the outline. I knew the theme of what God wanted to say. But it just enhanced the message. Because sometimes our delays are God's directions for our lives. And so if we live life with this expectation, God is not caught by surprise. He is with us. And if all our ways we acknowledge him, he will direct our paths. He will go into our future. I actually believe he can even make our mistakes part of his plan. Do you think God is bigger than your mistakes? Or are we tempted sometimes to think, and I know we can suffer the consequences of our mistakes, but are we tempted sometimes to think, gee, I've made so many mistakes, or I've made such big mistakes, that somehow I'm now excluded from God's best plan? Or is he bigger than our mistakes? Because if you're thinking that, let me just tell you, we're all there. None of us are excluded. But God is even bigger than our mistakes. That passage we talked about right at the start. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. And your hand of blessing is on me. Wow, this is a good God. Our task is God every day, every day. Even that, I encourage people right at the start of the day, just come before the Lord. Lord, today I place my day before you, that I will not live this day my way, but your way, that I'll have ears to hear what you are saying to me, that I'll open my heart and my spirit, that I'll be guided by you. The Lord may just during your day want to redirect. Maybe there's a delay. God, I'm not going to get frustrated by this delay, but rather I'm going to have eyes to see what you are doing, maybe through this delay. I suspect that none of us will know, perhaps until eternity, the number of times we've suffered a delay and actually God was strongly at work on our behalf through that delay. Yeah. In New Zealand, there's a famous walk called the Milford Track. Anybody ever walked the Milford Track? Okay, a couple of people have done it. So this is a track that takes you from Lake Te Anau across to to Milford Sound. And I know that Brendan told me he's done the Milford track in an aeroplane. This is not what I'm talking about. So it takes 4 days, 3 nights and 4 days to walk the Milford track. You have to register for it. It's very, very popular. You just can't walk it. You've got to register with the Department of Conservation, and you've got to walk it in exactly that pace, those 4 days, 3 nights. But there's two ways that you can do it. You know, there's what's called the independent way. So the independent way, you have to carry on in your backpack everything that you're going to need for the walk. You've got to carry all of your food, any rubbish that you have to take out with you. So all of your sleeping gear, all of your wet weather gear, which you need to have on that walk. The chances are it will rain sometime. Your warm gear, whatever. You've got to take it all, your little Bunsen burner if you want to heat something, water up. And then you stay in these huts built by the Department of Conservation. There's another way you can do it. It's called the guided way. You have to pay a lot more money because in this way, there are these lodges where you can stay, and they have all the food they're set up for you, and they have guides that will talk to you about the path, and the guides go ahead of you, and they set up morning tea, and then they set up lunch, and all you need to do is walk along carrying your rain jacket if you want a rain jacket, and they carry everything else. So these two ways of doing the Milford Track. So a few years ago, a couple said to Jane and I, we're going to walk the Milford Track. Do you want to come? And we thought, okay, we'll come. We didn't know anything about it. They organized it all. It turned out they were the sort of couple that loved hiking the Himalayas, you know, in their holidays. So guess which way they decided they would go? It's going to be the independent way. And so that's all we knew about. And so we went and we got backpacks and we got the food. You know, you get this dehydrated food with these packs, and they have the photo of the original meal on the front, and then somehow they take all the water out, and you're left with this powder, and then you add boiling water, and let me tell you, if there's any thought that it recreated the original meal, it's a lie. It just all tastes the same. It doesn't matter what the photo is on the front, it all tastes the same. It tastes like mush, and it's horrible. And then you've got to carry all your packets out, and we got all this stuff, and Jane and I disagree a little bit on this story, but, you know, my story is that she couldn't carry everything in her backpack, so I'm also carrying half of her stuff in my backpack, and it weighs a ton. And so we arrive, and we arrive at the start. You cross Lake Tiana, and you're at the start of the walk, and you head off. And we came to perhaps one of the most tragic moments of my entire life. It was the moment when cruelly the path you walk as you're on your way to your first night at the Department of Conservation Hut, you walk past the first lodge of the guided people. I want to show you a photo. Here's a photo of a Department of Conservation Hut. There it is. Okay, that's it. And then here's a photo of one of the bunk houses. So everyone's in together. And of course, you live with the same people for 3 nights. Our great fortune was that a whole lot of the people each night with us were a group of Scandinavian backpackers who snored loudly, loudly. And so we were in there. Nothing against Scandinavian people. You're beautiful. Just these ones were snorers. And now here's a guided lodge and a bedroom. And a meal. Can you see the sadness that would have come across me as we walked past that lodge and I'm looking through a window at a fireplace and a meal as we made our way? It was so sad. I reckon there are probably a few of you are going, "Now, give me the independent way. You're those sorts of people. Where are you? You're sick." In life, we get to do life the independent way or the guided way. It's my way. I'm making my own choices. It's up to me. Or God, I want you to be my guide. I'm surrendering my life to you. I want you to be my Lord. On a daily basis, I'm going to come before you with humility and say, Lord, today, would you go into my future and make a way? Lord, today, I don't want to live according to a bunch of coincidences. I want to live according to your divine appointments. In Jesus' name. Today, would you give me eyes to see what you are doing that I can join with it? Would you give me ears to hear your voice so I can partner with you and be your agent on planet Earth? In Jesus' name. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then in a few moments, there's going to be some prayers for, particularly for people involved in education. And so I'm going to just invite you to bow your heads in prayer. And as we come to pray, and the first prayer I'd love to pray is for somebody who's here this morning. And if you're honest, you'd say, I'm not living life the guided way. I'm living the independent. I couldn't say that God is with me every day. Well, he may be, but I'm not conscious of that. I'm not aware of that. I haven't surrendered my life to make him Lord. And today you'd like to do that. I want to tell you that God loves you with an everlasting love. His heart is for you and not against you. And this is not an insurance against the challenges and difficulties and disappointments of life, but it is an assurance that God will be with you through it all. And perhaps at some former time of life, you've known what it is to be with God and have him as your guide, but you've walked away from that. And again, in honesty, you'd say, I need to come back into that relationship to live that daily walk with him. Perhaps it's the disappointments or even the mistakes of the past that have kept you from that place of a relationship with God. And this morning you're saying, I need it again. His arms are reaching out to you this morning with great love, drawing you to himself. And your opportunity is to say yes. Yes to him. Yes, Jesus, would you come and be Lord of my life? God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven, because our sins have broken that relationship with God. But because of Christ, we can come back into a relationship and he can be our guide again and be our God and be our Lord. And he wants to be that for you this morning. And if that's you, and this morning you're saying, I need to come to him and say, yes, be my guide. Be my God, be my Lord. If you're coming back into that relationship in a moment, I'm going to invite you, as everyone's praying, to raise your hand and signal that that's you, and I'm going to include you in this prayer. And we're not going to embarrass you in any way. I just want to know who I'm praying for this morning, because God is reaching out to you. And so if that's you today and you're saying, that's me, I'm going to invite you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Fantastic. That's awesome. Number of hands around the room this morning saying, that's me. You can put your hands down. Lord Jesus, this morning, we thank you that you are the God who loves us, who's reaching out his arms of love towards us. And for these people in particular today, raising their hands indicating their desire to come back into that relationship, or for the first time, call you God and Lord, would you come and forgive them of sin? Bring them into that relationship, special place that you have for them. Lord, every day from this moment on, as they surrender their lives to you, as they come before you humbly and say, would you guide me today? I pray that you'll be so powerful and real, filled with your Holy Spirit, that they can hear your voice and be directed by you. And Lord, right across this place today, as people are just surrendering their lives to you in a fresh way, would you be our guide? Lord, we need you. We thank you that your word promises that you will go into our future. As we give ourselves to you, that you'll go there, you'll make the way. And I pray you'll do that for everyone in this place. Lord, for people right now who are in a place of some significant, great need of you to do that, would you do that today? Lord, let them know that you're already there, making a way, setting up divine appointments. Hallelujah. And Lord, that you come behind us to protect us from the harm of the past, Let it be in your wonderful, mighty, powerful name, Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. We should celebrate just those people who've given their lives to the Lord this morning. Nathan from St. George. There you are, my friend. Okay, brother. You know, God has gone into your future, hasn't he? He's set up what's happening right now in a beautiful, powerful way. He saw it even when your granddad was digging foundations. And now you are seeing the fruit of those prayers and that faith. And what an exciting day ahead for St. George. An exciting day ahead for King's Church and King's Christian College. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for listening this morning. And Pastor Ben's going to come and lead us in those prayers.